Thank you, Marianne. I had several people send jokes this week, which I'm very grateful for, so keep them coming. That's awesome. So I have one today, because I try to make joke somewhat connected to the topic, the theme for today. So St. Peter in heaven welcomes a taxi driver and a priest to the pearly gates and shows each of them their new homes in heaven. The taxi driver is shown a beautiful villa overlooking a gorgeous field of clouds. "Thank you so much," the ecstatic taxi driver says, anticipating an even bigger mansion. The priest is dismayed when they arrive at a small one-bedroom apartment. "St. Peter," says the priest, "I'm a little puzzled. As a clergy, I devoted decades of my life solely to serving the Lord. How come the taxi driver got a villa, and for me, only a little tiny apartment?" St. Peter smiles and says, "Up here, we go by results. While you preached, people slept. While the taxi driver drove, people prayed." My sermon is really short, so stay awake. Praying. Sometimes our lives can be so confusing and overwhelming, we don't even know what to pray. Have you ever been so devastated in your life that there are sounds that come out of you that sound more like an animal in agony than a human? I know I have. Sometimes our lives can feel so very uncertain and so overwhelming. Sometimes the distress over life is so deep. Like our passage this morning names for us, that even we don't even know what to pray for. Like when you're standing at a crossroads and you're not sure which direction to take. Which path is the right path for you? Or like when you're not sure which is the better place to move to? Or which home is the right home for your family? Or the times when you're questioning a relationship and wondering, should I stay or should I go? We don't know. We don't know what the right answer is. Or like times when a cherished loved one is so very ill and you don't know whether or not you should hope for them to live or pray that they may be released so that their pain is over. Sometimes, as this passage reminds us, we are so uncertain we don't know what it is we should pray for. And it is in these times, reminds Paul, that the Spirit of God, which dwells inside each of us, intercedes for us and helps us to know the next step. It is a knowing, says St. Paul, that begins deep in the heart, where God searches for our truth. What is it, says God, that your heart is longing for? What is your deepest desire? And if it is in alignment with the mind of the Spirit, says Paul, who understands the higher purposes of God, then it will be the next right step. The Spirit of God guides us on the journey, and as Paul reminds us, it is our heart that guides us to the mind of the Spirit, which guides us to the will of God for our lives. That's the journey. heart, to the mind of the Spirit, to the will of God. The truth of our next steps lies within our heart's deepest desires. Do you have a favorite line in Scripture? Anyone have a favorite verse that is their touchstone? Micah 6:8. What does God require of you? To seek justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. That's your touchstone. When you're trying to figure out what to do, you know, seek justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God. Anyone else have a favorite verse that's your touchstone? He cares for you. Anyone else? Psalm 23. How many Psalm 23 is your touchstone? Is there a line in that scripture that always you recite? I shall not want. Let the children come to me. The wide open heart for the children. Ever since I read Romans 8:28, it's mine. I love all the scriptures. I always think after I've read one, I've been preaching on, oh, that's my favorite. But really, when all is said and done, I always come back to Romans 8:28, which Marianne read. I suppose it's my touchstone because when things in life seem very uncertain and I'm confused or devastated or deeply distressed, this is the passage that grounds me, that reminds me that no matter what happens, it's all going to work out. All things work together for good for those that love God and are called according to God's purpose. It's very much like Julian of Norwich, the mystic who said, all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well, and all shall be well. Now, I've come to understand that that doesn't mean that if we make a choice that we believe with all of our heart is the will of God for our lives, that everything is going to suddenly turn up roses and sunshine. Sometimes the choices we feel led to make can actually create more difficulties and challenges in our lives and cause us and others indescribable pain. But this passage reminds us that if our choice was not made out of motivated by self-interest, but if the choice we made was made out of a good purpose, from good intentions, from a good place, that God can work in our lives to bring about something beautiful and good out of even the worst choices we make or the most horrific tragedy that befalls us. This verse reminds us that even in our darkest, most difficult moments, the Spirit of God is working in the situation to bring about a goodness for the highest good of everyone. His name was Fleming, and he was a poor Scottish farmer. And one day, the same as every day, began while trying to eke out a living for his family on his little plot of land. He heard a cry of help coming from a nearby boggy marsh. He dropped his tools and ran toward the cry. And there, mired up to his waist in black muck, was a terrified boy, screaming and struggling to free himself, but only sinking deeper and faster into the bog. So the farmer Fleming looked around for something to rescue the boy, and managed to find a long branch, and he pushed it out over the bog and told the boy to grab hold, and he pulled him hard and saved the boy from what would have been a slow and terrifying death. The next day, a fancy carriage pulled up to the Scottish farmer's humble little cottage, and out stepped an elegantly dressed nobleman who introduced himself as the father of the boy the farmer had saved. He said, "I want to repay you for saving my son's life." The farmer replied that he couldn't accept payment for what he had done. At that moment, the farmer's son Alex came to the door to stand behind his father. "Is this your son?" asked the nobleman. And the farmer proudly put his arms around his son and said, "Yes, this is my son Alex." And the nobleman said, "I have an idea." "Mr. Fleming," he said, "let me take your son and provide for him a very good education. And if the boy has the goodness of his father, he will grow up to be a man you can be proud of." Years passed, and the nobleman's words rang true. In time, the farmer Fleming's son graduated from St. Mary's Hospital Medical School in London, and later became known as Sir Alexander Fleming, the man who discovered penicillin. Years later, the nobleman's son was stricken with pneumonia, and it was penicillin that saved his life once again. And the name of the nobleman was Lord Randolph Churchill, and his son, Sir Winston Churchill. Now, this story isn't just about famous people. It's a story that is replayed over and over and over again in the lives of ordinary people like you and me. For there are unseen holy forces at work guiding our lives for the better and transforming tragedies into triumphs and heartaches into blessings and griefs into joy and anguish into hope. All things work together for good for those that love God and are called according to God's purpose. When we seek to do good, to love, to act justly, to act kindly, to do the right thing, life has a way of unfolding as it needs to. Not perhaps like we had planned or hoped it would, but turning out for good, just the same. Why? Because, as Paul's letter reminds us, we are all predestined to conform more and more and more into the likeness of the divine. Some of us might be slower learners than others, but eventually, as souls created in the image of God, we are all predestined for goodness, for godliness. No matter how twisted or distorted or mangled or flawed or egocentric we humans can sometimes be, that at our essence, there is a goodness, a godness within us. Sometimes we have to look really hard to find it in ourselves. And sometimes we have to get out a really powerful flashlight to see it in the soul of someone else. But, says Paul, it is there all the same. And because of that, says Paul, we don't need to keep trying to justify our very existence in any way. Because ultimately we will become more and more and more conformed into the likeness of the Christ and become reflections of the glory, the shining Shekinah of our God. Because, Paul reminds us, that like Jesus, who is the firstborn of a whole new humanity, is the firstborn of a very large family, says Paul. And we are each called to step into that divine destiny of all souls born from the womb of God. Like Jesus, we are all predestined to conform into the likeness of the Creator. It just takes some of us longer to get there. Perhaps even more time than one lifetime. But there is always hope, because God says, Paul says, God is for us, not against us. And if God is for all of us, who can be against us? Not even we ourselves can mess up God's good purposes for us and for this incredible world we are blessed to live in. You and I can each attest to the truth that the path of our lives is not an easy one. There are many twists and turns and unexpected shocks and surprises and hidden bogs for us to get stuck and mired in, and terrifying, devastating experiences. But even as we begin to utter our very first cry for help, we are told the Spirit has already interceded for us with sighs too deep for words. And God has already sent help upon its way. May we reach out and accept the help that God so lavishly sends. May it be so. Amen.